I invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father God, we call upon you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask now that in a very real and meaningful way that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and upon this place, that Holy Spirit, you would come. Fall upon us, well up from within us. Raise our awareness of your presence. In these words, may we experience you and your love. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would transform these words so that they are the words of Jesus, who is the living word. That you would open our hearts to receive them as you seek to continue to transform our lives evermore into your image and your glory. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'll be reading a couple different scripture passages this morning. And I'm just going to read the first one now as our scripture reading from the Gospel according to Luke. I'll be reading from chapter 1, beginning with verse 67. I'll be reading through verse 75. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Those he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I believe it was after my freshman year in high school that I went to Young Life Camp for the first time. I went to Lake Champion, which is in New York. And when you get there, everything is kind of rolled out as this huge surprise. They get you off the bus. Actually, a guy came on and shot a blank shotgun shell in the bus to kind of let us know that whatever we were about to experience is probably different than anything we'd experienced before. It was Elmer Fudd, and he was looking for the rabbit. So they bring us off this bus. There's music playing, and they pulled a couple people off the bus. And all of a sudden, while they're introducing us to the camp, you see these two people come flying down this zip line from up on the side of a mountain, and they come down the zip line, and they crash into the lake. And I'm looking at this thing thinking, that looks fun and kind of scary. So the first time I got up the nerve to do this, you kind of go up this hike, you hike up the side of this, what I would call from Central Ohio Mountain, and you climb up on this box, like this step, and you have a harness on that goes around your legs and your waist, and then they give you two sides of the harness with carabiners on it. They strap you into the zip line, but at this point in time, you're not weight-bearing because you've stepped up on this platform. I can see that I'm harnessed in, but I can't feel my weight on this zip line or in this harness yet. And then when they tell you to go, you just step off. And so there's just a few feet of kind of a free fall, but there is a free fall. And you're already on your way down before you're quite certain whether or not this thing's holding you. And so in my mind, I get on this thing. I'm like, all right, I got to be tough. You know, I'm a high school guy. There's people watching. Probably some girls down there. And I'm going to do this. But on the inside, it's kind of like, I might fall. What if this thing isn't hooked up right? What if this guy has no idea what he's doing? What if halfway down, this thing breaks in half and I plunge into that cliff? I mean, all these what ifs are going through my mind. Well, it held. I stepped off. Once I felt my weight in that harness, all of a sudden I had this sense of peace. And I was able, because I had this sense of peace, knowing that I was going to land safely on the other side, I was able to enjoy that experience. And what I've come to find out, and when I did youth ministry, I used to do a lot more of these types of things for obvious reasons. Several times a year, we would go places where we could either rappel or rock climb or do zip lines. And what I've learned about myself is getting the harness on doesn't bring me a lot of security. But once I can feel my weight in that harness and know that I'm secure, my confidence and hope that I'm going to be safe allows me to experience peace and receive all that that experience is meant to offer. Okay, so I want to, and first of all, this shows you the limits of my artistic ability. There's an H, sort of, on this piece of paper. And I'm just going to hang this here, and I realize not everybody can see it. Maybe I'll put it up here. Thank you, Stephen Minister Banner. That H represents hope. Okay, that H represents hope, and we'll talk more about that. And then on this piece of paper, I'm going to put a P. All right? That P represents peace. This is what I want you to hear this morning. That the hope that we have, because our eternal security is in Jesus Christ, allows us to experience peace where we're at today. And when we can have hope in our eternal security in Christ, and we can experience the presence of Jesus and the peace of God in our lives today, it allows us to step into and face everything that stands in this gap between now, where we are today, and the day that we will one day be in eternity, realizing that security that we have in Jesus Christ. And I want this to be the starting point as we consider this morning. Now, the passage I read you is from Zechariah. It's a prophecy. Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist. And he's prophesying about both who Jesus would be, understanding that the Lord is now raising up the Messiah, the long-awaited and promised Messiah, as well as prophesying that his son, John the Baptist, would be the one who would go and tell of the coming of Christ. But I just want us to quickly consider the promises that we hear in this prophecy, that in Jesus Christ we are saved and eternally secure. Zechariah says that God has looked favorably upon his people, that God has redeemed his people. God has raised up a mighty Savior. God has saved us from our enemies and haters. Now, Zechariah understands that this comes from centuries of waiting, prophecies from on old, a promise to their ancestors going all the way back to Abraham that the day has finally arrived that the Messiah would come. And you can just almost feel the energy and the excitement in Zechariah's prophecy. Finally, he's here. We've waited throughout history, through good and evil kings, through the prophets, the judges, the priests, the wars, the famines, the times of blessings, the exiles, the periods of restoration, and all of these things. We've had this hope in the coming of the Messiah. And Zechariah realizes that this time has come, that through this babe, it's as good as done for the people of Israel and for all who had come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Notice he doesn't say that God will look, that God will redeem, that God will save. He's so confident in this prophecy and in this child, he's saying that the fact that he's being born, it's as good as done. You are redeemed, you are saved, you are eternally secure. The work is done. He understands the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That in the midst of whatever life might bring us, We have hope in Christ, and we are eternally secure in him. Now, I want to look at a second passage. I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to read for you this morning verses 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think about this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Now, there's a phrase that's used a couple times in that passage. The phrase is, in the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's using that phrase to speak to the day when Christ will return, to speak to a day of judgment. Now, I want to talk about this just a little bit, because when we hear the word judgment, a lot of emotions can stir in our heart. And for a lot of us, the idea of a judgment day can bring about fear. Now, whether that's a judgment day that we have before we go before Christ upon our death and passing into eternal life, or whether that's in Christ's return, I think within us there can be this anxiety about what may be. And that anxiety can begin to take away the truth and the reality that we in Jesus Christ have hope in our eternal security. Now, if that happens, then it can prevent us from experiencing the peace of God in the present moment, in our day-to-day lives. But listen to the promises that Paul gives us as Paul talks about the day of Christ. He says, the one who's created, who's began this work in you, who started you down this path of restoration and salvation, guess what? He's going to complete it. Like, you're going to get to the finish line. You are already as you are enough, because you are in Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. You see, it's not about what have I done to find myself worthy of receiving eternal life in the Lord. It's what has Christ done and applied to me already. And so in the same way that Zechariah says it's as good as done, Paul is saying it's as good as done for you. In the day of Christ, at that day of judgment, you're good. The one who started this process in you is going to complete it. You are blameless, you are pure, you are righteous. And on that day, you will be able to bring before the Father a life of righteousness. Why? Because we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us and applied to us. And so when we think about that day, in Jesus Christ, that day brings us peace. It brings us love. It brings us a longing for dwelling in the presence of the Lord and experiencing all the things we're meant to experience in that relationship. Because in Jesus Christ, we have no fear, but only hope, because we are eternally secure. Now, the way that we make Christ's work effectual, the way that that affects us, all that Christ has done is birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, ongoing presence in our life through the Holy Spirit, is that we simply receive it. Is that we say, yes, Jesus, I want all of you for me. Draw me into yourself. Draw me into your heart. Draw me into your kingdom. For us to believe that we're not worthy of all of this diminishes the work that Christ did on the cross, diminishes the power of God, diminishes the love of God for people, diminishes the sacrifice, and frankly is blasphemous. Because it diminishes the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, true confession time. It's quite easy for me to stand up here and to look at all of you and to see the righteousness of Christ shining in you. To say to you, there is absolutely nothing that you have done or could ever do that will separate you from the love of Jesus Christ in your life. You are secure, and I see it in you, and we're going to work with the Holy Spirit to keep bringing more and more of that out and make it real. You know what's harder for me? It's to look myself in the mirror and to tell me those same things. To say to myself, Christ's righteousness is all over you. Because I know the depths. And so this is where the challenge begins for us, is to receive this as truth and to experience it in ourselves, to come alongside one another and to bring that out in one another, to speak that righteousness to one another, to keep this hope and this eternal security in front of one another as we journey through this life. And so we ask the Spirit to continue to transform, and we have faith that Christ has done and through the power of the Holy Spirit will continue to do everything needed for our eternal security. We have faith in that. It builds hope. And then we can experience peace here and now in the present. Now, what I want to say to you this morning is that an understanding of the future hope we have in Christ and an experience of the peace of Christ in our daily lives, when you add those two together, it equals freedom to live. It equals freedom to live. So I need to do this the way you guys are looking at. Like future, hope in Christ, today, present, peace of Christ allows me to walk into the future each and every day with the freedom to live. But here comes another challenge. And this is the part of this that I've really wrestled with the last few days. So, you know, and Holy Spirit, help me make this clear. We can have hope in our eternal security, and we can experience the peaceful presence of Jesus in our lives in the moment and still lose hope within the day-to-day journey. Because life is hard and there are challenges. And we live still in a broken world that at times for us feels hopeless. The Associated Press just a couple weeks ago released a story. I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but the story is about how life expectancy in the U.S. has actually dropped for the first time in decades. And they're questioning why this would happen. And the gist of the article is that when you add together, and they do say part of it is that we're an aging country, and so that speaks to it. But that's not what's really changed the statistics. What's really changed the statistics are the number of younger people who are dying for two reasons: suicide and overdose. And those two numbers have climbed so high that for the first time in generations in 2017, the U.S. life expectancy dropped. And what this article goes on to say is that they quote PhD at the University of Washington who says, I really believe at the heart of this is a loss of hopelessness, or a loss of hope, a feeling of hopelessness among people in our country. That for the first time in generations, people are starting to look to the future and not able to see it in optimistic ways. And because we've lost hope, We're trying to turn to other things to deal with the emotions and just the way that that has an effect on us. And so even as Christians, okay, hear me, even as Christians, when we have hope in our eternal security, when we can at times experience the peace of Christ in our day-to-day lives, there are situations that we come against in our life that can feel so hopeless that they can drag us down. And this becomes a challenge to walk in freedom. We become frozen from the fear, frozen from the uncertainty, frozen from the insecurity that we feel around us. I worked at a camp in Ligonier, Pennsylvania, while I was in college, and they had a high ropes course, and I had in my cabin like 11, 12, 13-year-old boys. Yeah, a summer of that. And one of those young men was particularly challenging, had some struggles along the way, was pretty highly medicated throughout the year, except for some reason when parents send their kids to camp, they like to take them off their medications. It's just the way they worked it. So I was not blessed with just 1 week with this young man. I was blessed with 2 weeks because they said, we know he's a challenge. You did such a great job the first week that we're going to keep him in your cabin for the second week. Thanks. That's the reward for good hard work. He's 25 feet up in the air on a high ropes course. And if you've not been on something like this, you have a harness, you have two carabiners, and there's all kinds of safety regulations put in place. Like, are they closed and opposed? Are questions that you ask. And as you go through, as you come to a new element, or as you come to a tree and you have to transfer, you ask permission. Permission to transfer one. Permission granted. You transfer one. So that there's always at least one carabiner on the cable ahead of you, or above you, so that you're always safe in case you fall. All right, do we understand that? Now, I look up, and I see this young man standing there on a platform with both of his carabiners in his hand. I'm like, we have a problem. Now, he didn't really realize the gravity of it at this moment. I was able to kind of, and I didn't want to be like, what are you doing? Because he would have probably jumped, all right? So I'm trying to just kind of, hey, buddy, how's it going up there? And at the same time, let other folks that are actually on the elements get to him. All of a sudden, it dawns on him, I'm standing here and I have both of my carabiners in my hand. I'm not tied in. And he starts to lose it. All right, so now we really are beginning to have a situation. And so folks up there trying to work their way to him, I'm talking to him, I'm standing underneath him, trying to do some math in my head to figure out what exactly is going to happen to me if I try to catch this guy. But I'm talking to him, trying to keep him calm. Hey, can you see that carabiner in your hand? Can you click that in that cable above you? He was frozen. Because when he realized the gravity of the situation, the fear took over. And he froze. He couldn't hear what I was saying to him. It's probably good that he froze because he wasn't moving either. But he froze in the midst of that situation. Now, eventually, some of the other guys got to him pretty quickly, and they got him back in there, and he was safe, got him through the course, got him down on the ground again. But understand how that fear paralyzed him. So what I want to say to you this morning is that as we go about our day-to-day lives, even when we have hope in our eternal security, even when we can experience the peace of Christ and the presence of Christ in our lives, there are times when we come up against something that the fear is so great that we freeze, that it affects us in that way. And we know this. I mean, what are those things in our lives right now that are causing us to lose some hope in tomorrow? In next month, in the year to come. And we all have them in varying degrees. We hear the word cancer. We're faced with a tragedy. or in the midst of a struggle or an addiction or have friends or loved ones who are trying to live that out. We feel like things are out of control. Our finances are out of whack. We have this cloud of depression over our minds. It feels like the world is crumbling around us. Some of those what ifs that we've asked ourselves time and time again in life feel like they're starting to come true. What if, and all of a sudden, it did, or it is? What do we do when the what ifs become real? Well, this sounds simple. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas. Now, what do I mean by that? You see, Zechariah had this understanding of what was happening when this child would come into this world that completely reshaped and reformed the way he was able to look to the future and in the midst of present situations. Times weren't easy or good for him at that time. If you read about the history, things weren't great then. And yet he was able to understand God has come and saved us in this child. Paul is in prison writing these words and saying, hey, guess what? He who began a good work in you, it's going to complete it. It's all going to be good. In the day of Christ, at the day of judgment, we're good, blameless, pure, righteous. We're in. And it may not feel like it right now, but we're on the winning team. Emmanuel. God with us. These things don't surprise God. Yet God is active in coming to us in the person of Christ. This is God's Christmas present to you, to us, to the world. God himself comes and is present with us. We can receive that. Emmanuel, the presence of Jesus, made real to us today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and encouraged in one another through the community of faith. And we need all three of those things. When I'm facing times like this, the thing that I want to do most is go withdraw from people and sit in my room and stay away from the world. You know, the best thing we can do is to find the strength and the courage to come be a part of the community of faith. And maybe that means inviting one or two more people into that to sit with you for a while. Maybe that's the courageous step that we need to take for a while. But when this is getting blurry and hard, we need more of this. We need more of the presence of Jesus in our life. Because when Jesus comes into the world, the promise isn't that all of these problems are immediately going to go away. They will one day, and we look forward to that. We have that hope. But what Jesus does tell us is in the midst of all of this, in the midst of this journey from here to there, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And my presence will be with you always. And then gifts us the Holy Spirit so that we can receive that and experience God's presence walking with us. The reality that in Jesus Christ we are set free to live and to love and to serve. To live and to love and to serve. Now, sometimes living, loving, and serving means having the courage to take one more step. It means having the courage to get out of bed that day and to receive what God has to offer. Sometimes it means many other things than that. But in Christ, to experience the presence today gives us that strength, gives us that courage. We cling to both hope and peace. No matter what we're going through, each of us in Christ can wake up each day and say, my hope is in Jesus Christ, and I know that I'm eternally secure. And no matter what the world brings to me, there is a day where I will be experiencing the perfect presence, peace, love, and joy of God in my life. And I long and hope for that day. And already we begin to reframe the things that we're walking in. We cling to hope and we invite peace. We give ourselves the courage to have faith in the journey. faith that God's presence truly is God's presence. That Emmanuel has come to grant us peace now and forever. Now and forever. Now we're going to step into a time of prayer. And part of that time is just an opportunity for you to reflect and to pray. But I want to invite you into a couple things, because I don't want to just stand here and talk about how Jesus can come and you can experience his presence and his peace in your day-to-day life, and then we sing a closing hymn and we leave. Like, I want to give you opportunities to experience that here, today, now, in this place. I mean, if we're talking about this, let's have the faith to step into it and say, Jesus, come. Like, grant me this peace now in this moment, because you know what? I need it. All right, so we're going to invite ourselves into this. You can come on up, Alan. I'm going to, in just a few moments, I'll pray, and then I'm going to read a passage over you. And then I'm going to give you an invitation. And there are a few folks that I've asked to be ready. And if at any point in time in this movement, you just feel like you want to receive a special prayer for anointing and a blessing of peace, that throughout this time of prayer, we just invite you to raise your hand or to stand up where you're at. And a couple folks are going to be ready to come to you. And they're just going to anoint you with oil and just say a simple prayer and a blessing over your life, inviting the peace of Jesus Christ to come be real to you today in this moment. There's nothing superstitious per se in the use of oil and the anointing in the prayer, but it helps us experience what's real. Not just what we believe, but what's real. Okay? And so I'm going to just give us a moment. I'm going to pray. We'll read some scripture. I'm going to invite you into this. And if at any point in time in this you desire to receive an anointing and just a prayer of blessing, stand up, raise your hand, just draw our attention to you, and some of our folks will come to you and provide that for you. Let's enter into a time of prayer. I just invite you, as you sit, as you begin to pray and reflect, to just take a couple nice deep breaths. Just allow your heart to be settled into this moment. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would sanctify our thoughts, our imagination, that you would help us to experience you in a very real way. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. And we desire to meet you in this space here today. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I invite you to allow yourself to be drawn into this passage as Jesus speaks these words. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. Jesus, we want this gift of peace of mind, of peace of heart, this gift that is you, because we know it's a gift that the world cannot give. So as you've promised to come back, Jesus, I just pray that you make yourself real to us here. Come back to us in these moments, Jesus. Grant us a touch of your peace. I just invite you to take a few moments to continue in prayer. Allow the Lord to work through your imagination. Open yourself to experience the touch of Christ. And if you would like to receive a special prayer of anointing and a blessing of peace, I just invite you to raise your hand or to stand up where you are. Some of our folks will come around and provide that for you. Let's continue in a time of prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you promised to be present, that you've sent to us our advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us and to help us experience your presence as a reality. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the ways that you touch our hearts, for the ways that you've encouraged us here this morning. I pray, Spirit, that you would continue to strengthen us, Give us the courage to take another step, to live into this day and each and every day, secure with the hope we have in Jesus Christ, that we are eternally held by you. May that be real to us, Lord. And Lord, in the midst of our day-to-day struggles, we are a people that because we have faith and because we know of your reality and your truth, that we can stand together and proclaim good news. We can proclaim joy. We can proclaim your love and peace. We can have the audacity to speak and live in freedom, even in the midst of it all. So we thank you for that. And we also commit ourselves to be a people who do just that, who live freely in and for you. Continue to pour out your blessings upon us. Continue to meet us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.